Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Alistair, for the welcome. I'm so glad there's no CV involved, because usually people think if they roll out your CV, you know, that makes you more important. That's absolutely not what it's about. I'm going to share this morning just a couple of things and try and, you know, shed a bit of light, because I think apart from or rugby is another religion, especially in South Africa, and another way to get a message across. So for me, yeah, it's true, and I'm going to say a lot about it, about success and significance and purpose this morning, and hopefully you can put this in your heart, or find a way in your life which makes it a difference. Because the thing is, we're not made, you know, we're not made, and we're not privileged, and we're not gifted. We didn't receive fruits of the Spirit and talents for our own benefit. It's for everybody else's benefit. And when I use rugby this morning as an opportunity to speak to you, it is because I always pray for the biggest what's a preekstoel? Pulpit. The grootste preekstoel from which I could preach. To make people understand that that you can make a difference in life. Now, rugby is played in heaven, I believe, because there's a place for every character, every size, every... It's unfortunate. I hear the ladies are also playing rugby now. I'm not so in favor of that, but in the rugby team of eternal life, I'm sure it will be great to have a lot of women involved. But there's place for everybody. There's guys this big, these guys really, really tall, 2.9 meters, and then there's fat guys, and there's quick guys, and slow guys, and different personalities, and you've got to mold them, but it represents what we're in society is about. And therefore, if I use rugby this morning as an opportunity, or as a symbol, it's basically to, you know, to ask you to associate with that in that regard. Now, I want to start quickly by explaining why the cheetahs and what's happened to them, and then I'll bring it closer to what I believe in life. So, the cheetahs is a very common name in this part of the world, and in 2015, when I started there, I decided, or let me start a little bit further back. I came to visit from Italy, and I went to the Baptist church on the other side of the town there, and the blind preacher there said he's looking for 1,000 men to stand up for what's right again. And it shocked me. I thought 1,000 men. I come from a Roman Catholic country. I was living there for almost 10 years, and I thought South Africans are full of Christians and people, men standing up for what's right and honoring their families and bringing up their kids in a way that's honorable, and just words like honorable, and I thought it's impossible. So when I came back in 2014, 2015, my mission was, and it's always been my coaching philosophy, is to good people are good players. So it's got nothing to do with how you play. So yes, I don't drop somebody if he's a bad person, but I try to change his way. So I then decided that I'm going to use rugby as an opportunity to reach out to these young men that choose to do what they love. And they got a talent for that, a vehicle. Now I want you to search for your vehicle in your life today, because everybody gets a different vehicle. I know tennis can be a way, but there's a lot of ways to change people's lives. And everybody gets a different talent. So in Romans 12, it says that somebody will get the gift of sharing, or it's discipling. Others will get the gift of honoring other people and serving them. So everybody's got their different their way. So I decided in a rugby family, we're going to see if we can't influence people around South Africa. So first, it was to get the players to buy into it, to understand their ability away from rugby. So I've got three rules. I had three rules. It's really strange for most of you, but I'll explain quickly. No brandy, for obvious reasons. No flip-flops. And back when I came here, the guys were priming, what are chewing tobacco. Yeah. So it was quite a strange thing when I got there. So obviously I had my work cut out. So the reason for flip-flops, I think that will shock most of you, is just because I feel a guy earning a certain salary cannot walk around in the mall at 11 o'clock on a Monday morning without proper shoes on. Doesn't it? So that makes everybody else jealous that's standing behind the counters and they got to dress in a certain way. And I first told them that if you use that, make yourself different, then obviously you'll be treated with a little bit more respect and you can treat others with a lot more respect. Alright, I'm not going to go into the other two. So that was the biggest thing that shocked the players, that I said they're not allowed to wear flip-flops. So, slowly but surely, we said we want to become significant and not successful. Because significance is about continuous success, isn't it? Now I'll use a ship as an example. If you built a ship, and I know there's other singers, that's also what Joe Black has this story about this van skepe, what they all met gaan. But if we see ourselves in the life of we're rowing, as a theater. Want ek weer begin. Alright, so. I'm not worried, ons al tyd slaaf is vir die. Maar, what was I going to say? Now that you could, oh yeah, the ship. So, the thing with the ships was, we're rowing every day of our lives. We're physically rowing. The life is about rowing your boat. So it's hard work. You get in the oars, they have to be put in the water, there's blisters on your hands, your shoulders get tired, you work every day really, really hard. And then success comes along, and that's wind in your sails. So the moment you win the Curry Cup, then there's wind in your sails, and what does everybody do? We stop rowing. We take our oars out of the water, and we open a glass of rum, isn't it? Traditional pirate way, and we just cruise. And then one day, the success goes away. And then the worst thing ever is to put your oars back in the water and start rowing again. So, I believe that while there's success, you're going to always have to be significant. Significant is to get your boat to the other side, wherever that may be. So instead of waiting for the wind to dry, work really hard when there's wind in your sails, then you must really work. You don't have to lose to become the best you can be. So, once I got that idea across to the players, we started seeing significant things change. The way we play, the way we look after each other. So it's not so cool for players to tell each other that they love one another. Rugby spielers, they don't sit there in the change room and say, I love you. It just doesn't sound right. So we have I care, of omgee is our thing. And if you, Colossians 3, I found my purpose is that you must wear the cloak of love. You must care for somebody. So why is rugby played in heaven? You give the ball of faith to somebody else in a better position. So that is how we play here at the Cheetahs. I don't know whom of you really follow the Cheetahs rugby, and I won't. If you don't worry about it. But the thing is, we always try and pass the ball. So our skill set from the first day is about giving the ball to somebody in a better position and to score a try. A try is like being admitted into heaven, because that is what rugby. Nobody plays rugby not to score a try. And it's the same thing in the game of life. You want to get on the other side of the white line as a hero, as somebody that was significant in scoring. So sometimes just one guy can score, but we always use the ball of faith to put somebody in a better position. Now the players started to understand that if I play for one another and it's not about me, I'm making a difference. Now, in that rugby team that we spoke of in the beginning, there's rugby players, different size, different character, different talents, different skill sets. They play different roles, but they've got one common goal, and that's to give the ball to somebody else in a better place. And that is a challenge of society and life, to be significant. It's not about scoring the try necessarily. It's not about who's scoring the try, it's about scoring the try. And are we contributing every day in society to give the ball to somebody else? Or are we trying to hold on for our own benefit, our own success, a little bit too long on the ball, and we don't get to the try line for some reason? Now, along with that came a little bit of uncertainty. Now, it was easy to explain to them, but uncertainty happens, and that's the same in your life. There is uncertainty. Especially if I see a lot of students sit around. I've also got a boy that's first year, ending his first year, can't believe it, ending his first year. And with uncertainty, you think you're the only person that's unsure. And then, you know, when the disciples and Jesus did a lot of miracles, they let people walk. Am I right? A lot of those people laid in front of the temple all their lives. And then one day, they got healed. Stand up and walk. Now, how are they going to earn their worth now? Their whole life, they were just lying there. Somebody gave them something. Now they've got no excuse to go and work. How uncertain must that person be? Can't keep on asking. And now after 40 years, now suddenly you can't keep on asking. You've got to go out after 40 years and go work for money. Go make a difference. So when Joshua brought the, when they arrived at the Jordan River and before they had to go into the promised land, there was a river coming down, Jordan River coming down at the base. Now that's uncertainty. We've just traveled 40 years around and now we've got to enter the promised land, but here's a river, there's no bridge. That's uncertainty. The same uncertainty I feel a lot of us would have felt, and despair sometimes. We just did everything the Lord asked, or most of it. Now we're only 40 years later, we're just here, and now there's uncertainty. But then the Lord comes, and that was the message to them. All of us is unsure, but make a decision. Don't think always about the right decision. If you make a decision, the Lord will back yourself up. So they stood in front of the river, and the Lord said to him, "You must put your feet in the water for the water to divide." So it took quite brave men to make an action, to take an action. Now that's the challenge I want to put out there. Are we prepared to make those actions, or are we keeping everything that we know and that we learn from Jesus and all our great spiritful lives, are we taking action to share it with everybody else? Or are we uncertain? Are we just standing there? Are we really putting our feet in the water? Now, and we know that the water divided and they went through. The first miracle the Lord did was changing water into wine. Was the water in the buckets before he changed it? Or was it had to be put in there? Remember, you can't change, the Lord cannot change your water into wine if you don't fill your buckets. You got to do something. You got to go out there and put yourself out and get hurt sometimes, get shut doors, closed doors, but you must be persistent. That is actions to fill your buckets. Then the miracle will come. Same with the rain. If we don't prepare our lands, the rain won't come. In a metaphorical way. So all of these things I had to install in the Cheetah Rugby team. Hopefully you guys grasp some of it today, and hopefully that will be the influence. But we said, now that is what we want. So I said to Alistair, when we pray up, in the beginning we prayed out on the field, and I said no to MJ one day, who's my brother, who organized the prayer, who started the prayer at the Cheetah Stadium. Was it four years ago? We went up to the highest point. There's where the press sits. So we look out over the press, must see everything. Anyway, so we sit out there on top, and then we look down onto the Free State Stadium. And I lifted myself a little bit higher, and I got this vision that if you look from a map or from this Google Maps onto the Cheetah Stadium, the Cheetah Stadium will look like a cup. Cup's brim, isn't it? So it's a brim. So, and my dream for Free State Rugby was now that goodness and favor will flow out of that. We already have the people in our hands to make that difference in the way we play, the way we go about our business, the way we honor him when we play, and the way we honor him on and off the field with all these rules that I have. And now we want this goodness to flow out of it and influence people around South Africa. So in 2015 I started there, and 1 year later my biggest dream was to fill the Cheetah Stadium. And we had 42,000 people in there within 9 months since I started there. And goodness and favor and the story about the Cheetahs flow over. We didn't lose a game the whole season. We played with no-name players. Everybody comes from everywhere, because here they get good and then they leave. But we got them all in, and we said goodness and favor, and that flew over South Africa. We got five guys became Springboks. I went to the Springboks. I coached Springboks for 18 months and had an opportunity to share this same message there. And that was success. We were successful, weren't we? But then suddenly 13 guys left at the end of 2017. Cheetah Rugby went all the way down. The new coach he was more focused on the results than on making better people. And it's not a criticism towards him. It's just different way of do. And through grace, the Lord guided my way back to Cheetah Rugby in end of 2017. I was asked by Rassie to continue coaching with the Springbok team, but I must go and live in Cape Town. At that stage, my boy was a matric, and I felt that I need to be closer to them. Because it works like this: if you coach an international team, you're away from home, even if you're at home. So I lived 136 days away from home in 2017, and I decided that's a bit too tough. You want to be close to your family. I can't have influence that everybody else's kids are not my own. So I decided to stay at home, and through God's grace, the previous coach here resigned after four months in a three-year contract. And suddenly I could work 11 kilometers away from home again, on something that I started. So started back there, and we started all over. There was end of 2018, there was literally about 6 guys left from the previous campaign, and we brought a new bunch of players in, went through the same process. And we ended up within 9 months winning the Currie Cup again. But the significance was that the last time any stadium was full in South Africa was in 2016. Not even test match rugby, the stadiums was full. And it was full again a year later for goodness and favor to flow over the world. Now, why don't I say South Africa? Just for a simple reason that for those guys that follow the Cheetahs, we played Super Rugby and then we changed into Pro 14 Rugby. Alright, so when I left in 2017 to go to the Springboks, I said to them, I prayed the prayer of Jabez and said, we must broaden our grounds. So did the Cheetah Rugby broaden their grounds? So between 2017 and to date, the Cheetahs went from playing only in Super Rugby, that means in the Southern Hemisphere, Auckland, a little bit further down, Wellington, Invercargill, right down, bottom part of New Zealand, Brisbane, and then suddenly, we went to Tokyo, Singapore, and now suddenly we played in Pro Rugby. So now if we go up and you dot everything, so if you dot Buenos Aires, and if you dot Tokyo, if you dot Edinburgh in Scotland, and if you dot Invercargill in New Zealand, and you join all those lines, did the Tito's area of influence grow tremendously? So, is Tito Rugby significant? Yes. Is it the Tito Rugby that needs significant, or the people that needs to be significant? And that's the message. When I prayed for a bigger pulpit to preach from, my story this morning is to inspire the Bloemfontein people and not feel insignificant. Only 11% of people studying at the varsity end up working in Bloemfontein. A lot of the Cheetah players, they go out and they go and play for other teams. Is that bad? No. It's opportunity for Bloemfontein people to be significant wherever they are sown to have an influence. And with the idea of using your talents and giving somebody else an opportunity to be the best they can be, that will make you significant. That will allow you to score a try for Christ. I'm going to end off. I know that the rugby doesn't determine my life, but I know it determines yours today. I want to end off by saying in 2017, I arrived on the Springbok Tour, greatest privilege. I was a Springbok, so it was a great thing for me to have the opportunity to wear the jersey again, or to put the blazer on and to be involved. And we lost a lot of games for reasons. And in that period, I was already at around about the 100th day away from home, and I was reading through Ecclesiastes. So the first sentence in Ecclesiastes says, everything comes to nothing. So not the greatest thing to read on tour. Then I studied it, I read it, and I come to the conclusion after the last sentence says that everything that we do will be, God will decide if it was good or not. So the conclusion I made, and this is the challenge that I put out there, is that for a short time, everything was there before us, and everything's going to be there after us. For a short time, we part of everything. Are we prepared to give everything for everything while we're on earth and while we have the opportunity? And we're so easy to say, ons gee alles, we give everything. But we must always compare it with the widow that gave the last copper cents. That is when you've given everything. So I asked my eldest boy, I said, look, hey, when do you give everything? I said, when there's nothing left. Very few people in the world give everything to everything until they've got nothing left. And that is because we're blessed. I don't think the Lord wants us to have never not something. But it doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be clothing even. It's just something from yourself. To be the best you can be. To help other people being the best they can be. Thank you very much. I hope this helps. I'm not a preacher. I'm just talking from whatever comes from my heart. And I believe Bloemfontein people are significant. We are in the middle of South Africa. Everybody that comes through here and wherever you go, we are different. That's great. Thank you very much.